Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, class. Come on,
listen, the song's crazy. You know, I got an idea, though. Make it a little crazy. You can't got this yet. You can't got this yet. Work for it. I'm going to play my card. I'm going to leave your ass. It's cool. And I hear your guy. I'm going to wear their cut. But I got no eyes. And I can't be done. Don't get me. I take it on and it's working. I want to avoid it. I'm going to take it. No matter what the cover is. I'm being done. Yeah, I'm calling in the pocket. I'm going to plug.
They told you that you couldn't do it, cause you all stuck. Ain't like them bad bitches to get the full plug. But I got this plan, I'm gonna do whatever I can. And I'm gonna be the full plug. Just watch me do this, put the next on the flag on it. Walk right up to the ground where I'm brag on. Go to the top, I'm getting all I got. I take the lies, but we ain't gonna ever die.
Good morning. Welcome to Faith Focused Finish Blog Talk Radio Show. And that was Corin Hawthorne, Unstoppable. I like that song. That was my first time ever hearing that song, but that's pretty cool. So anyway, welcome to Faith Focused Finish Blog Talk Radio Show. We're on Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to noon. And so if you're looking for any advertisement, promotion, commercials, radio spins, or any interviews, this is a perfect platform to come on. So I'm looking for some, you know, people that want to promote their event. Maybe you're an author or life coach. Connect with me. My number is 240-640-5492. Now, this morning, we have Ms. LaDonna Moore on the line. She's going to be talking about her book. She's the author of the book called The Christian in the Crisis, Let's Just Tell the Truth. So I'm excited to have Ms. LaDonna on the line. Ms. LaDonna, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Great morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm excellent. I'm excellent. Well, I see we have a couple of callers on the line. I'm going to keep you on mute for a minute. And
okay.
And I'm going to open up the lines for anyone that have any questions for Ms. LaDonia. And so, Ms. LaDonia, I see
yes,
you born and raised in Midland, Texas. Now, where is biggest city is that to that?
That's so funny because everybody always asks me that. Like, nobody knows where Midland is. But it is West Texas. So it's going to be... It's like 2 hours south of Lubbock. Odessa is like 20 minutes away. Headed, you know, towards El Paso area. So we're right here in the Permian Basin.
So is that a big town or a medium size?
You know, it's getting bigger. You know, it's probably not, you know, like the... like most metro areas, but it is growing because we are big for our oil, and so there's a lot of oil field families and workers steadily moving in. So Midland is definitely growing.
Okay, excellent. Well, Ms. LaDonia, she's the single mother of four beautiful children, entered to the United States right after she graduated from high school. Oh, no, why somebody call me at this time? And graduated from the United States. I thought I put a block on my number. Sorry about that. And she just published a book called Christian in Crisis. So it's going to be coming out in a couple of weeks then. Or is it already out already?
Christian and in Crisis was released December of last year. My new book, Choices, is what will be released in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. And then you also have a nonprofit organization, 3E Encourage, Elevate, and Excellence?
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, okay. Tell me a little bit about that, about your nonprofit.
Okay. Well, 3E actually started out as a group chat. A friend who I used to work with was trying to keep in touch with some of the ladies. We were working together, and the job moved to a different location, and not all of us could go. And so, of course, we, you know, kind of dispersed, but this was a way for us to be able to keep in touch. We were having, like, girls' night out, probably once a month getting together. And so there was only about 10 of us on this initial group chat. And so as my friend and I were talking, you know, about some of the things that we wanted to do, I opened up a Facebook page called Queens with a Purpose. And so we put those 10 ladies in there, and so we started to add more women who we were connected to into this group to just really just kind of keep us encouraged and uplifted, you know, trying to have a safe place where women could talk about their issues or ask for prayer or whatever it is they were going through without being judged and having shade thrown at them all the time. Well, the page has now grown to a little over 300. We're about at 330, 340 members in this group, you know, in this group that started out with just 10 women. As we've gone, it's been about a year. It's only been about a year that we started this group page. And so just with some of the things that the women have shared, some of the issues that some of them are going through, I really just felt led to really start an organization that was built around women, but around encouraging them, getting them to new levels, helping them to get a new mindset on their whole life, you know, things really can be better in spite of what your situation is. And so that's really what 3E is about. And we want to be able to, yes, we want to be able to pray for these women and, you know, give encouraging words, but we also want to have practical, applicable things that can be done in order to achieve whatever those goals are. So if we have to teach women how to cook, if we have to teach them how to wash clothes, maybe they don't know how to clean a house. We're going to be able to do that. And if they need to get away, you need to unplug, we're going to have events to be able to do that as well. So that's kind of the overall goal of 3E.
Okay, okay. Well, I would like to, if you get a chance, add me to the group. I'll add you to my women's group. I mean, maybe we could do some collaboration together.
Yes,
you know, because I'm on the same page with, you know, trying to encourage and empower other women myself. So I think that my women's group, I think I'm almost at 600. So, I mean, that would be
exceptional.
We can collaborate. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Yes.
And it's always about building. I don't care what it is, whether it's in business or building each other up mentally or whatever it is. So I like that.
Yes, so, yes. I tell everybody all the time. Go ahead.
How many books did you write?
I just have the one. I have the one that's been published and then the one that is getting ready to be published. So I just officially have two.
Okay. So the first one that we that you already have published, is that the book, the crisis one that we're going to be talking about?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay.
That's the first one.
So tell me a little bit about the book. What first of all, because I know a lot of times people write books or whatever because certain events that, you know, to them said, okay, let me write my story, or if it's a bio about you, I'm just saying for most authors, in certain events or something inside of them, say, you know what, let me write this story. Was there any certain type of event that happened with you that made you say, you know what, let me write a book about this?
Yeah, actually, in 2013, I went through a severe depression. I was separated and, you know, things were just kind of, as far as I was concerned, just looking real bad and bleak for me. And so some of what happened is, you know, I was, like I said, dealing with all of those emotions and things at one time. And so I did attempt to take my life, and ended up, in a mental hospital for about a week. And so after coming out, I was doing a lot of journaling and things, just trying to find somewhere to put all the emotions out of everything that had happened and I was going through, finding somewhere to put all of those things. And so I had several journals. And just in the process of journaling and writing out my prayers and things like that, I felt led to, like you said, put my story in book form, because I started to, you know, just really think about how many other literally African-American women who were dealing with the same things that I was dealing with, because, you know, I am a believer. You know, I do believe in Jesus Christ. And so going through that, I really struggled with how my faith played where my faith was, how it played a part, and struggling with whether or not it meant that I had lost my faith. You know, did I not think God was going to, you know, get me through it, or, you know, I didn't want to wait, or, you know, whatever those things were. And so I decided to put it on paper, because I know that there are other women who deal with the same issue. And I realize all ethnicities deal with it, but from my perspective, as an African-American Christian woman, there was so much that was on me regarding that, with those specific things, is what led me to put that in a book.
Interesting. So I know you label it as that you've been in crisis for years, and so that led you to depression. So would you like to talk about what was it that you were going through?
Sure.
Yes, that is depression, I should say.
Well, and it's funny, because most people, well, maybe not funny, but, you know, most people who are in a depression don't even realize they're in a depression. Like 2013, when everything happened, it wasn't the first time something had happened that was big or overwhelming. And it wasn't honestly until I spent the week in the mental hospital talking to doctors about things that had happened to me over my life. I mean, I'm a survivor of incest. I was raped in the military. And, you know, I was separated from my current, you know, I was separated from my husband, but I had already been through a previous divorce. So now I was looking at being a single mother again for the second time, you know, and feeling like basically like all of the men in my life who were supposed to either love me or protect me or, you know, give me security had somehow, I felt like had somehow abused that power. And right. So where I found myself when I did attempt was I was in a really dark place where I was like, God, like literally like everybody who loves me and supposed to take care of me, they abuse it in some sort of way. And I was, you know, at a point where it wasn't that I had lost my faith because I knew to talk to God, like, this is how I'm feeling, but I simply didn't want to wait for him to fix it. I didn't want to wait for him to make that dark place go away. I wanted it gone immediately. So I literally sat, you know, and I tell it in my book, I literally sat in the middle of my floor and said, God, like, this is what I'm about to do, and I'd really like for you to just let it happen. Like, please don't stop this from happening because I know you're God and I know you can, but I don't want to feel like this anymore. It was just such an awful, I don't even think I can describe it most times the way I was feeling at the time, you know, but yet and still God had other plans. So here I am.
Yes, ma'am. Well, you know, a lot of times people think that when somebody attempts suicide, a lot of people think they try to pinpoint one thing, one particular thing. But most
right.
of the time it's not one particular thing. It's an abundance of things.
Right.
And sometimes
that's
small. I'm sorry?
Oh, no, I was just saying that's really what I came to understand after talking with the doctors. It was like it wasn't just this thing that has done it. It's all of these things that didn't get addressed before, you know, before talking to these doctors. I had never been to a doctor about what was going on in my head or what I had dealt with or what I had been through, you know. And so it was just that at that moment, that was all my brain could manage, you know, and literally just broke to a certain extent.
Right. So, yeah, now, the reason why I can talk about this is because I can kind of relate to you because I went through the same scenario before and never had anybody to talk to. I was always this yes person all the time and when I really wanted to say no. And so a lot of times people think that people have breakdowns from what they see for
right.
one, it might be something smaller minded to them, but they don't realize
right.
it could have went for years. Of a mess, and then just that one little thing just triggered it off. It just took you over the edge, and so,
mm-hmm.
so I could kind of relate to you when you say, you know, it was just an abundance of things, and those
yeah.
things that happened to you, that's enough to make somebody go off the deep end. So
it
yes,
really
and
is.
I've been through some, it's more people going through it than you can imagine. And
right.
It's really sad that people can't live their life the way they want to live their life. People try to incorporate their sickness into you.
Mm-hmm.
And just to know that somebody living in a godly home and trying to live a godly life, the devil will find his way, any kind of way to creep in to try to steal your joy and take whatever he can take
yep.
from you.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry that you had to go through that. I'm sorry you have to go through
that. Well, you know, it is as awful as those things are, and even when I talk to people now, as awful as those things are, you know, it's like, would God have wanted that for my life? Of course not. But, you know, they've grown me. I have learned from them, and I can choose what my outcome is. And so that's really what, you know, both books are about. The first one is you know, this is what happened, this is how it happened, this is why it happened. And the new one, Choices, is about, even though, you know, people make choices around you that affect you, but you ultimately get to decide where the path of your life goes, whether you want those things to affect you to the point of them being crippling and you not being able to walk in your purpose, or you learn from those, you grow from those, you forgive who you need to forgive, and then you move forward with what it is God has given you to do.
All right, now, it makes a lot of sense, yes, ma'am. Well, I'm going to take a quick break right quick, and we're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about the chapter of the book that's called This Place. We're going to talk about that. So
awesome.
We're going to take a quick break right quick, and we'll be right back, okay?
All right.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. Say no weapon.
Welcome back to Faith Focused Finish Blog Talk Radio. We're on Monday through Friday from 11 a.m., and that is Eastern Standard Time. The guest call-in number is 563-999-3741. So if you know, if you're out there listening on through the Internet, you're more than welcome to call in. We have Ms. LaDonia Moore on. She's the author of Christian and in Crisis, Let's Just Tell the Truth. And so, Ms. LaDonia.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you there, Ms. LaDonia? All right. So I want to talk about the part. I'm sorry?
Oh, no, I was trying to make sure you could hear me.
Okay. So I want to talk about the book called, the chapter called This Place.
Uh-huh.
Tell me a little bit about that part of the book, This Place.
Okay. So the chapter actually starts out with a poem that I wrote as soon as I came out of the hospital to really try to put into words what I was feeling and what I was going through. And then the rest of the chapter really just describes, it gives specifics of the actual event, the actual attempt. What I was thinking, when it happened, what I did, how I did it, who I talked to the morning I woke up and wasn't expecting to wake up, and then just the realization of everything that was going to take place now that that event had happened. Because, I mean, for anybody who has attempted to take their life, if their goal was indeed to pass away and then to not, you know, to wake up the next morning, now there's so many other things that are now going on in your mind with how the rest of your future is to play out. And so kind of what I explain is that, you know, now that I've literally kind of died and now I'm alive, because the intent was to die. The intent was to not have to wake up and deal with anything anymore. But then to wake up with literally mercy, you know, for God to say, no, I still have a plan and a purpose for you, regardless as to what you're dealing with and what you're going through. And so that's kind of what this place is about. It's about the place that I was in at the time and the things that I was about to have to confront.
Right. So I want to open up the lines right quick because and see if any of the callers have any questions they want to ask you.
Okay.
So just a minute. Okay, callers, I have the line open. If any of you callers have anything you want to ask Ms. LaDonia Moore about what you heard so far. Okay, I'm going to leave this phone lines open, and if you, you know, have any questions, just, you know, let me know. So so in the book, you had a chapter called The Good, the Bad, and the Traumatic. The
mm-hmm.
Good, Bad, and the Traumatic. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the good.
Okay, so the good, how it's explained is, you know, stress – stress comes in a lot of different forms. And so there is some good, or what you would call positive stress, like the things that kind of motivate you to move forward. They can be stressful, you know, because it's pressure nonetheless, but it's still nothing that is harmful to you. It just motivates you to move forward. It motivates you to take action. It motivates you to strive or to keep going. So that's the good that we're talking about.
Okay. Excellent. And let's talk about the bad.
then the bad is the bad stress, the things that the thoughts and feelings that we allow to weigh us down. The bad stress is the stuff that, you know, causes heart attacks, causes you to overeat, you know, causes you to be in a depression, you know. So that's the bad. It's not, again, it is the stress that if not dealt with the right way, it may very well be harmful to you, harmful to your health, harmful to your, you know, your family. You know, too much stress is harmful, you know, for your job. You're being weighed down with everything that you have to do. So that's the bad, the stress that we're talking about.
Okay. Now let me ask you a personal question. Okay. Were your kids? Did you already have kids when you had that when that event happened?
Yes, I had actually just had my fourth.
Okay. And how old were the kids at that time? Did they understand what you were going through? Do they remember that time?
Before the actual event, they knew something was going on. I mean, kids are very they're very observant. So, I mean, the depression, it was to the point where, like, there were times I didn't want to get out of bed. You know, they would come and say, you know, Mommy, we we're hungry or whatever, and I just tell them, go find you something to eat. You know, pretty much my children, you know, I felt like they were self-sufficient, which for the most part they were, like I said, except I had just had a new baby. And so I was, of course, doing and taking care of her, but I had an excuse literally for every time they wanted to do something or go somewhere or, you know, they just wanted to be where I was. I didn't really want to be bothered. I wanted to be left alone as much as possible. You know, I cried a lot. So, you know, I tried to make sure I didn't do it in front of them, but they pretty much knew if Mommy's in the room with the door closed, you know, she's having one of her moments, you know. And so I know that my oldest two probably remember it the most just because, you know, with my oldest, being the oldest, she kind of had to take the brunt of taking care of her brother and her little sister, you know, trying to, you know, y'all leave Mommy alone, give Mommy some time, you know, come in here, let me help you find something to eat, you know, or let's go in here and let's watch TV. So I know that she remembers it because she had a lot to take on while I was dealing with the, you know, my own emotions. And so, and even after I came out of the hospital, I did stop and take some time and sit with them and, you know, try to see what they understood about what had happened, kind of how they felt, you know, if they had any feelings they wanted to talk about or anything they wanted to get out. My son was rather young, so I don't know that he really comprehended everything that went on. But, yeah, my oldest two, they definitely remember, you know. So, and like I said, I did take the time to try to talk to them and explain to them, you know, everything that had happened and what had gone on, you know, at a level that they were able to understand it.
Right. So did this event happen before or after your first or second marriage? Or was it during your marriage?
I was in the midst of my second marriage, and he and I had separated.
Okay. Was that the small, because I know, like I said, a lot of times people attempt that because of abundance of things, but sometimes it'd be something small that kind of triggered it off. But was that the one of the things that triggered you to say, forget it, I'm done, that, when you went
yeah.
separation?
Yeah. Cause we had gone back and forth trying to see if we could reconcile, but it wasn't working out, and my heart was literally just broken, because when I got married, you know, this second time, I was like, okay, God, this is it. I'm not doing it, you know, anymore. I'm in it, you know, for whatever goes on or whatever. So when he decided to leave, the way that he left, it was really hard for me. He was seeing somebody else, and for me, it was difficult because I was like, I don't understand why he didn't choose me. You know, like, what is it that I wasn't doing or needed to do that would have made him stay? And so that's where I was at that moment in time. Like, you know, and I missed my husband, you know. And so it was just, like I said, it was just really such a dark, heavy place for me, because it wasn't just being separated. It's, you know, the feeling of being rejected. It's the unfaithfulness. It's, you know, not being, you know, having things go on that now this was supposed to be a two-parent home that I'm having to deal with everything by myself. And that wasn't the plan. You know, now the plan has just been completely thrown off, you know, and that's right. Not how that was supposed to happen, you know.
Right. So how long were you guys separated at that time?
At that time, it had been about a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably about a year or so by then.
Okay. Did you guys ever get a chance to kind of work that out or even become friends afterwards?
Yeah, actually, he and I are really good friends now. And we were friends before we even got married. And so I'm sure that had a lot to do with why we thought, you know, our marriage would work. But now that we are divorced, I mean, we communicate really well, especially when it comes to, we have two children together. And so when it comes to communicating concerning our children, we do really well. There's not a time when, you know, if I am really struggling or if I have something come up that I can't reach out and be like, hey, this is what's going on. You know, I mean, we're very civil to each other. And so, you know, we had to work to get to that, of course, you know, but I thank God for the civil relationship that my ex-husband and I have.
Well, that's excellent. I'm glad that you guys could get to a place so you can, you know, because it helps a lot when you're at a place where you can both help raise the kids together.
Right.
So that's pretty cool. Yes, ma'am. So in the book, you talk about feeling like you were stuck in a place. Let's talk about being, you know, feeling stuck and at that time and where you are now.
Okay. So the chapter on being is really a chapter to kind of relate, to try to help other people relate that are going through. And sometimes, you know, you're in a situation where you've had some incidents or things happen in your life and you just cannot shake what you feel or why you feel that way. And it's even harder when you're surrounded by people who feel like, you know, you're being overly dramatic or, you know,
mm-hmm.
try to kind of make you feel like what it is you're feeling is kind of irrelevant, you know? And so I describe it in my book. It's like being stuck in traffic on like a really hot day, you know, traffic ain't moving, it's hot, maybe the AC don't work, so you just barely got the windows down, and so you're in this place, nothing's moving, nothing's good, nothing positive is happening. And even when it's starts to move, because you were in that spot for so long, even when it starts to move, you still have those remnants of what that felt like, being stuck in the car in the middle of traffic, ain't nothing moving, it's too hot, where are all these people going? You know, you got all of these things going on at one time, and
mm-hmm.
when you're there
yeah.
for a long time, it's hard to move with the flow of traffic. It's hard to
right.
get all of that extra stuff out of your mind without some sort of assistance, without somebody helping kind of pull you out of that, you know, and we can't
right.
always do that by ourselves. So that's kind of what
exactly.
that's about.
Right. And it's funny because I never looked at it that way, but I, as you was describing it, I'm thinking in my head, yep, I can relate to that. especially in the Atlanta area, being stuck in that traffic jam. It's like, wow.
Yeah, I used to live in Maryland and would have to commute to work, and I remember thinking, oh, my God, where are all these people going at the same time that I'm going? I need everybody to get somewhere and just be still.
Right. So do you feel like you're stuck right now, or are you, like, you know, do you feel like you're at a place that you can kind of breathe?
Thankfully, I am at a place in my life that when I do start to feel overwhelmed, I can tell. And so there are things that I do to help keep me from being stuck. And sometimes really just talking to other people, praying with other women, getting the focus off me helps me to not be stuck. You know, it's really good to be in connection with a lot of, you know, a lot of other women, whether they are, you know, elevated in their thinking or whether they are struggling where you are. Regardless, everybody has something to offer. And so
right.
I've learned to acknowledge whatever it is I'm feeling at the time. Like, give it its moment, because you want to be able to do that. You know, we think that because we pushed it back and we feel like we're not thinking about it, that it goes away. And that's not really realistic. That's not really how that happens. And so I have to acknowledge whatever it is I'm feeling, whether it's sadness, whether it's anger, whether I'm lonely, regardless as to what it is, I need to acknowledge it, give it its time, but don't allow myself to sit and fester in that. And when we just continue to just focus on all of the bad things that are happening to us, with that type of a mindset, it's real easy to get stuck. So I have to redirect my focus.
Right. I had to learn how to start doing that too myself, because, you know, when you stay in an environment where a whole bunch of people that feel like they stuck, you're going to be still feeling stuck. So I had to start learning how to redirect myself too. So I'm right there with you, eye to eye. The lines are open for any callers. If your callers have anything you want to say, we have about 15 minutes left, or really 10 minutes left of the show. If any of the callers have anything they want to ask Ms. LaDonia, the lines are open. Sometimes, Ms. Moore, we get some shy people on the line.
Oh, that's fine.
But it's beautiful to know that they're there to support and to listen.
So
now that you're, you know, we at the point that you're, that you, we talked about being stuck, it says the place. Before it was this place, now you at the place. Tell me about the place.
And so, again, this chapter starts out with a poem that I wrote kind of after I had been through counseling, had started really kind of developing ways to deal with my depression. And so I had gotten to a point where, you know, I wrote this place concerning the darkness. So now I need to address the fact that that's the old, and now I am new in where I am. And so that place kind of describes how I got out of being in this place anymore. Focuses more on, you know, how the thoughts that I had that put me there, and then the new thoughts that I had to put in to replace those things so that I could get out of where I was. And so that's what that place is about. It's about transforming my mind, transforming my thinking, resetting the way I thought about myself, about my situation, even about my marriage, about my children, about my lifestyle, just being able to renew the mind that literally had been broken, finding a way to take those pieces and put them back together in order to be a better person.
Right. And, you know, a lot of people don't even realize that when you thinking negative things, or you saying negative things to yourself or out loud, you have to replace it with at least 10 positive things to replace that one. So it's like a like you're fighting a tidal wave to try to get to shore. You got to keep on pushing and pushing and pushing, you know, just to stay positive in your mind. And a lot of people don't realize that. And it's crazy because you can kind of tell about the people that surround you because the way they respond when it's something negative versus something positive.
Right.
And I know me, I know now because I know how to recognize those red flags when it's somebody that's negative. And it's like, you know what? I know I need to replace them with 10 other friends that's positive to get rid of that one negative energy from around you.
And that's
trust me. I know. Sometimes some of the training that I've been through in the years, whether it's through my job or my businesses, sometimes that's a good training, sometimes it's a bad training because I know how to cut somebody off so fast, especially if it's a negative thing. I can cut them off, and even if I love that person and I like being around them, I'm like, you know what, I can't with this right now today. I know how to cut it off, like, quick. So, yeah, I understand you got to always make sure it's a battle to, you know, be replacing those positive things. And also teaching your kids, you got to teach your kids that too. You know, every time you say something negative, come here, let's talk about some positive things. Tell me 10 positive things that happened today. And so, you know, when I was saying to you, I've been through the same thing, through a breakdown and everything, so trust me. I feel where you're coming from because I know it was a struggle for me that just keep trying to fight and start having faith in myself and believing in God that he, you know, that he rule over everything. So regardless to what somebody's saying in the background or doing in the background, you know, this is for me to make sure I'm taking care of me mentally, physically, and whatever.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
So, yes, ma'am. Now, let me ask you, if you could say anything to the world, I don't care what, I mean, you could talk about whatever, this is a global platform, and basically, matter of fact, let me tell you how many countries, I got to pull up my list. This is how many countries we have actually listening. And actually, I saw some more last night, I didn't document them, but from Ghana, Morocco, India, Nigeria, Canada, Trinidad, Europe, all the United States, and a small part of South America. This is a global platform, so you're talking to people worldwide. If you could say anything, whether it could be about your past, your book, whatever, if you could say anything that can help anyone out there in the world that's going through the same thing you're going through, what would you say to those people?
It would probably be the one thing I try to say to everyone that I talk to, and that is we are better together than we are apart. Every day people are trying to, you know, everybody trying to make it, everybody trying to do something. And that's absolutely great. We should all be shooting for greatness, moving towards our purpose. But throwing shade, being negative to people, not wanting to work with people because of whether it's their skin color or their gender or their gender preference, whatever the case may be, it makes it that much more difficult for us to prosper in the world. And globally, we need each other, whether we think we do or not. That's how we succeed. That's how you get to where you really need to be, is, you know, by sharing your gifts, using them together, you know, collaborating, teamwork, all of those things is what makes this world work. So we are definitely better together than we are apart. You really can't do it by yourself, no matter what you think. You really cannot do it all by yourself.
Wow. I'm going to tell you something. I have so many people on my shows out of all the radio stations I've been on. And that one right there did something to me because it's so true. And I'm going to start making sure I say that too because it's so true. There's so many people out here, they're struggling by themselves. Really, you know, you're right. Being together is better than being apart. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's deep. Now, I know you had, you talked about, you had some quotes or some, just some quotes at the beginning of one of your chapters. Do you have that on hand so you can share it with us?
Yeah. So both This Place and That Place are a poem, or poems that I wrote, and just named mm-hmm. those chapters after those poems. So the one I will share will be That Place. Let me get to it here real quick.
Mm-hmm. I started reading while you get it. I had started reading your book, and I was like, wow. I said, I definitely got to make sure I download your book because we did this at short notice. So I said, I definitely want to download it because just the parts that I did read, I was like, wow.
Oh, I'm glad it blessed me. Okay, so it's the last chapter, actually. It says That Place. So I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm just going to read the poem. That way I don't give away
yeah.
the whole ending.
Right.
Okay.
Right. I just want to know the poem.
Okay. So it says, when you last saw me in this place, so many thoughts, so little time to think them all. I'm so tired. Just wanted to stop. Not stop one day, not tomorrow, not in a minute, but now. No one sees me. No one can hear me in this place. So no one will notice when I'm gone. But my story, Mercy said, no, you were bought with a price. Your life is not your own. For I know the plans I have for you, plans for a hope and a future. In your weakness, my strength is made perfect. Hello? Hello? Who's there? The Lord is thy shepherd. You shall not want. I will make you lie in green pastures and lead you beside still waters. Psalm 23:1-2. I hear you. Let me see you. The Lord is my light and your salvation, so why be afraid? The Lord protects you from danger, so why should you tremble? Psalm 27:1. Is that you? Are you here too? Can you hear me? You can see me. I'm not alone in this place. I will not let you stumble and fall. The one who watches over you will not sleep. I, who watch over my chosen, never tires or sleeps. The Lord watches over you. I stand beside you and your protective as your protective shade. Are you angry? Do you still love me? I know I was wrong. Nothing can ever separate us from his love. Death can't. Life can't. Angels can't. Demons can't. Fears for today, worries for tomorrow, even the powers of all hell can't. Highest heights or deepest depths of oceans. Nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from his love. But I'm angry. They hurt me. The others didn't see me. They didn't help me. Stop your anger. Turn from your rage. It only leads to harm. For the wicked will be destroyed. But those who trust in the Lord will possess the land. Psalm 37:8-9. And that's all I'm going to share.
Wow. I was sitting here with my eyes closed just listening and imagining it. Wow. Yep, I'm downloading it. Yes, I'm definitely. Yeah, I'm definitely going to do that. Now, is it so? Tell us how we can get a copy of your book and how we can people can get in touch with you.
Okay, so my book it is available on Amazon, so you can purchase it on Amazon as the hard copy or as an ebook, or you can go to LaDoniaProducts.BigCartel.com. and order the hard copy book there as well. Or you can always, I am on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. I'm on all of them. And so you could always anybody can always DM me or message me and ask me for the link for the book, or just order one and shoot it to me, Cash App or Venmo or PayPal. So I am definitely accessible.
All right. And I have all that the information right on this episode, so you can just click right on the link. And you also have an Eventbrite Mindset Matter mini workshop. When is that going to be?
Yes. That is happening December 7th right here in Midland. It's a Saturday morning from 10 to 12. It's 2 hours of a mindset workshop, just really kind of what we've talked about, but just focusing in on specific things that we can do to renew our mindset, to replace that negative thinking with positive thoughts, building up our faith, and knowing what it is we can do to just propel us more towards our purpose.
All right. And that's December 7th.
Yes, ma'am.
And all right. Well, that link is connected to this episode, so all you have to do is just really click on that link, and it'll take you right to the right to the event. Well, I want to thank you for coming on my show.
Thank you for having me.
I enjoyed you. Well, I'm looking forward to you to come up with your other book, and I would love to have you on the show. We could talk about that book, too.
Awesome. We sure will.
Well, guys, that's Faith Focus Finish Blog Talk Radio Show. We are on Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to noon. That is Eastern Standard Time. That was Ms. LaDonia Moore, the author of Christian and Crisis, Let's Just Tell the Truth. And I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Now, tomorrow I'm going to have a young guy. His name is Marcus. He actually was in a motorcycle accident where an 88-year-old lady ran him over on his way to work. He went through the whole process of going through therapy, going to the doctor, things like that. One day he started having issues with his legs, and he went to go lay down and go to sleep and woke up paralyzed. And so now through the process, he found out he was bleeding in his spine and lost his limbs. So he's going to be coming on and sharing his story tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to talking with him. So come and join us tomorrow, same time. The call-in number is 563-999-3741. And I'm looking forward to hearing from you guys tomorrow. And on that note, have a great day.